Plum, written and read by Brendan Cow.
"You're the shark," Pete said, before gulping at his ice-cold schooner of new. "I don't know. I saw John Morris at Cronulla Kitchen getting a coffee yesterday morning, and when I asked him how he might go, he just put his hands to his throat, mate. Seriously, he just did this." Brick stuck his tongue out and gripped his Adam's apple with both hands. "The sharks had choked. The cap has choked him." "Gonna be a long f***ing year for the blue, black and white, I reckon," Magic Matt said, sipping from a half-full beer. His hands so big the glass looked like a test tube. "You'll still tip him, though," Squeaky said. And the boys laughed, because of course they would. Even if Cronulla Sharks fielded a team of 8 alpacas, the boys would tip sharks, because that's what teams is. And that's what loyalty is. And that's what you learn when you play sports. And they'd all played top-level sports at some point. "Your young bloke's got his grand final this Saturday, doesn't he, Pete?" asked Brick, the pull of gambling leading his eyes down towards his TAB phone app. "Yeah, the Jersey Flegg final, Saturday against Dogs. They look good too," answered Pete. "Mick Ennis still coaching them?" Magic Matt asked, his eyes on the latest barmaid. "Yeah, Mick's all over them. There's not a weak link, and they're fit." "Your bloke starting at 6? "Yeah, he is, 5/8.
"Son of a gun."
"In the game of the father," Matt joked, thinking this one was gold. "Something like that, yeah," Pete said. "G'day. No pressure, Gav," Brick said. "You're just Pete alum's son." "He'll be right." Pete was keen to let that topic go. He was already too nervous for his kid, having to fill his own shoes and all, as well as playing blokes a lot older and bigger. Peter just hoped he enjoyed the 80 minutes and had a crack. "You give him any words of advice?" Matt asked, never one to read the room. Perhaps it was his height. Perhaps coming in at 7'2", he missed what was going on down on earth. Pete shook his head, scrunching his nose as if to say he doesn't need it. It was 1:26 p.m. in the cavern of male failure and leering known as the Carrington Inn, or to the Coxless Four, as their WhatsApp group was called. It was the Casbah. And the Dogs were on the big telly, and Brick Wall, who got his nickname from running through an actual wall, turned his brick-shaped physique to face the race. "Off and racing," he said, as he always did, in his best falsetto Johnny Tapp voice.
"Racing now," added Squeaky,
who would bet on a leaf in the rain if they let him. Magic Matt offloaded his keys and cards onto the table like he just got home and reached for his walking stick. "Beers?" Back in the day, he'd played centre for Sydney Kings. But unlike Brick and Pete, he'd stopped training altogether, and so now, 49, Magic was a limping blimp, waiting on a list to get his hip done again. The bloke was practically unrecognisable as the former boomer enforcer who'd once dunked on Patrick Ewing. "Wait till the race is over," Brick said, eyes fixed on the telly. "But yep, you're up, Matty boy."
"Yep, I'll have another Sivu play," Squeaky said.
A stripped-back branch of a bloke, he'd earned his nickname amid an unprecedented jockey career, and his tiny little glass-cracking voice had not descended a semi-quaver in all the years he'd been off the Stallions. If anything, it had got squeakier. "Pete." "Nah, I'll hit the waters, thanks, Matty."
"You took the bus, didn't you?"
asked Squeaky.
"Fuck me, you prick of a c***,"
said Brick, as his white and grey greyhound didn't quite get round the final straight enough.
"Ha ha! I told ya! Wait for the trots in Inverell. Dogs are rigged, bric-a-brac."
"Harness is no more pure, Squeak." "You sure, Pete?" asked Matt, waving his NAB card. "No. Waters." "Charmaine got you in the doghouse again." "Nah, she's all good."
"Why are you not schoonering then?"
Squeaky asked. Pete turned to face the little chap, thinking, what is this, 60 minutes? "I got this competition winner thing tonight at Sharks Leagues,"